earth beneath. For even Satan and the fallen angels, everything above the earth, on the earth, under the earth, will ultimately one day praise the Lord and worship the Lord God. There is no exception to anyone. Your options are these. You can choose to worship God willfully, joyfully, of your free spirit, of your own decision, or you can worship Him as God forces you to worship Him, as everyone bows down to Him at some point in God's eternal history. Worship is the ultimate goal of the church. John Piper is a pastor in Minnesota who has a great heart for missions. A great heart, and a greater heart, not just for missions, but a greater heart for God. And I needed to read you some things that he says about this issue of missions and worship. He said, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. When this age is over, and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. Missions is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Worship is the fuel and the goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions, we simply aim to bring the nations into the white-hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the people in the greatness of God. Did you see that? The goal of missions is the gladness of the people in the greatness of God. In Psalm 67, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." Passion for God in worship precedes the offer of God in preaching. If you don't have a passion for God, if you don't have a passion for His worship, then you're not going to be able to preach it very well. You can get up and give some sermon out of some book, give some book review, talk about some positive aspects, try to sit and encourage some people. But unless you've got a real passion and a love for God, then you really cannot even begin to preach with any kind of authority. You can't commend to people what you don't really cherish yourself. Missionaries will never call out, "Let the nations be glad," who cannot say from the heart, "I rejoice in the Lord, and I will be glad and exalt in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High." Missions begins and ends in our worship of God. When the flame of worship burns out the heat of God's true worth, the light of missions will shine to the most remote peoples on the earth. In that paragraph, he simply means if you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, you know what happens? No one can keep your mouth shut. You don't worry about what people say. You don't worry about what people do. You don't worry about people's criticisms of you. You don't worry about the persecutions that come down the road. You don't even worry about boundaries. You don't worry about support. You just go. You go because that's the mission, that's the call, that's the purpose of God. When you're worshiping God, you just move. Those missionaries who have had the greatest impact in the world around are those missionaries who have first had a genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were filled with His passion. They truly wanted to go out and say, "Look, I've got the greatest news of the world and I've got to share it with you." What's the greatest news you have to share? It is the news of Jesus Christ. Who keeps you from saying it? Well, Pastor, the government says we can't wish anyone a Merry Christmas anymore. Well, boo-hoo on the government. You have a right of freedom of speech that the government ensures. Wish people a Merry Christmas. Are you still doing the Happy Holiday thing? I hope not. I hope not. I've had four people this week say Happy Holiday. I say, well, Merry Christmas to you too. You know? You just have to do it. You have to do it. Where the passion of God is weak, zeal for missions will be weak. That was the phrase that really just stopped me. If our passion for God is weak, if we have no love for God, if we have lost the awesomeness of God, then our zeal for missions is going to be, who cares? Who cares if they live? Who cares if they survive? Who cares if they're funded? Who cares if they go at all? I'm nice and content in my own little world doing my own little thing. Who cares? Boy, if the passion for God is weak, zeal for missions will be weak. And churches that are not centered on the exaltation of the majesty and beauty of God will scarcely kindle a fervent desire to declare His glory among the nations. Even outsiders feel the disparity between the boldness of our claim upon the nations and the blandness of our engagement with God. Piper hits the nail right on the head. If you're not excited about your faith, if your faith is not changing your life in the way you live it, if your faith is not altering your decisions in some way, then how can you expect anyone else to be enthused about the faith that you have? How can you expect to stimulate any conversation about the faith that you have if you're not excited about it yourself, if you're not cherishing the awesomeness of God? And maybe we hear it so often that it means nothing to us anymore. But did you realize if you went to a dark area of our country where there are no city lights, and you look up into the star, up in the sky, and you see what? Millions of stars, too numerous to count. Little glimmers of light. Billions of them in the universe around us. And we say, wow, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Do you realize that God knows every star by name? Do you realize that in all of this vast array that God has given us, look at the variety that He has given us in the planets, in the solar system, in the miracles that happen in life and death. Do you realize that the God who made and created it is the God who has chosen to reside in our life? And yet we say, well, I'm just a Christian. Well, I'm just doing the best I can for Jesus. Man, we have got to fall in love with the awesomeness and get in touch with the awesomeness of God. Because if we don't find a real zeal for God and a passion for God, our zeal for reaching out for others is gone. And you can see that. Those people who are just interested in their own agendas, take care of their own agendas right here. There's no need to send missionaries out. No need to pray for them. No need to do something for them. Do you have that little brochure this morning for this week? Or take that out, because I need to point something out to you. Everyone grab one of these things, all right? Everyone grab one of these things, because you need to see this. Day one is today, as a week of prayer, from Sunday to Sunday. Today they want us to pray for a person who is building, has a small building in India. Their name is Marty Hunter. And they have 10 Lingayat Christians who sing, read the scriptures, and share how God is working in their ministries. Do you see Marty Hunter with that little asterisk by that name? And it's Marty. I can't tell whether it's a he or a she. It really doesn't make any difference. Maybe that's why they've chosen it. That little asterisk name means that their names have been changed for security reasons. You realize that we've got missionaries who are serving in areas of the world that are not safe for them to be serving in. So when they do publications like this, they come out with a thing and say, well, we need to call Joe Smith, we need to call a Marty Hunter. Or if Sally Jones is out there, we've got to call her Marty Hunter because we don't want them to know that there's a Sally Jones or a Fred Smith out there. Because they could endanger that church. Notice that on day one. On day two and three, you've got people who are not afraid to be named, or in an area where they're able to be named. Mark Caldwell is working with the tsunami relief. That happened just a year ago. And they are working in tsunami relief. And then you've got Percy Boots Holder. Okay, you pray for Percy on day three of this event. On day four, you've got Lori Funderburk. That's a fun name to pray for. Pray for Lori, all right? And as she does the coordinator for in Sierra Leone. Then notice on day five, you've got Oliver Graham. Notice that little asterisk by Oliver Graham's name again? That means that Oliver is working in China City. And when they put the names there, Oliver could mean a guy or a girl, really, because of security reasons. Notice back on day six, you have Mike and Molly Turner. Again, there is that asterisk by their name. They are serving in Northern Africa in a mega city there. You've got Daniel and Teresa Peters there on day seven. Again, they're working in Madrid, and yet they still find a need to change their name for security purposes. And then on day eight, it's Carter Bolin, who is working with Muslims in West Bengal, India. These are people who need our prayers. These are people who are serving in areas that are dangerous to them. These are people who love the Lord, their God, with all of their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And they're desiring to serve God and to glorify God in their life in these places. In fact, let me take a moment and let me pray on day one for Marty Hunter. And Father, you alone know who Marty Hunter is. Guy, girl, old, young, makes no difference. But Marty is serving this day for you with the Lingayat people of India. And they're really praying that their church planting movement will take off. And they're praying that the next generation of leadership for that country be trained, and that new believers will share their faith boldly. That's difficult to do in a land that holds Christianity at bay. In a land that was once so receptive to the things of Christ, it is now hardened, steeped in idolatry and false religion. They are people who are dying and going to hell. But Marty is there to give her testimony to one or two. Keep Marty safe today. May that ministry flourish even as they have asked in this prayer request. Meet their needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, my hat goes off to these people who serve in places that I won't or can't go. How about you? Do you feel compelled to go to a foreign land to serve the Lord? How does one feel that urge, that need? Well, sometimes it's having missionaries come in and really let you know that's what's going on. But it's more a worship of God. And when you begin to worship God, you begin to focus on people. You begin to focus on God. You begin to focus on God's heart. Someone asked, every year we get the brochures from Teen Missions. I look forward to the brochures from Teen Missions coming in December. And they've arrived here this December. And I hold Teen Missions very dearly. It's not a Southern Baptist organization. It's an independent missionary organization. But I love it and I pray for it because my children went through it. Teen Missions is a place where teens, 13 through 18, go and they serve the Lord in various ministries around the world. In the United States, Alaska, parts of the other United States, Canada. But they're going to places like Australia and New Zealand and places I can't even pronounce. Countries I didn't even know existed. They will send nearly 2,500 students out this summer for 6 weeks. And I try to encourage our young people to go. And no one's gone yet. Maybe one day someone will. Someone said, well, how do you get a real call for missions? You know, I mean, I don't feel especially called to do that in my life. Let me tell you how my children were called into ministry. I can speak for all of them. When they went, they came home different people. They saw people live so differently than they did. And they saw the great need. When my son, who went to Thailand, had to cut grass with a machete by hand, it made him appreciate cutting grass with a lawnmower in Florida. When Aaron went over to France to help a camp who didn't even have a swimming pool, and she helps to build a swimming pool in France for a Christian camp, and she learns that Christians over there are really a lot different than here. It opens them to a worldview. And Melissa, who currently serves as a missionary in the Dominican Republic, she has been to France. She's been to Romania, will come home, and who knows what will happen, whether she'll stay in the Dominican or whether she'll seek out another missionary adventure in her life. But God alone is in charge of that. But I'll tell you why Melissa and my children have a different view of the world than some people, than some kids, and some adults. It's because when they were on the field, they saw the need. Melissa didn't feel especially called to missions in her life. But you know when she got the call? When she went on the field. And when she saw the people in the great need for those in Romania, where she was helping to build an orphanage, and Teen Missions teaches you everything from basic construction and working with concrete and setting steel and tying steel together and pouring foundations and footers to clown ministries and bike ministries and motorcycle ministries and choir ministries and all kinds of street and evangelism things. That is all open, whatever your skill level is. And here my little girl is hauling concrete up in a 5 gallon bucket, 3 flights of stairs to build an orphanage in Romania. It changed her life. She understood the generosity of Christians, but she also understands the difficulty that they have in living there. Our good friend Larry Gray has served in Chad for 20 plus years. He sent us a couple of letters this month that I thought you might be interested in. I'm not going to read all the letters to you, but let me share a little bit about what goes on in his life. On November 23rd, he sends this. These have been hard days for Mom. She got a bronchial infection, that's Jan. She got a bronchial infection on the way back from Dubai and has been pretty weak ever since she got back to Kilo on November 13th. We had a water supply pipe to our house break on Sunday. It was buried under the outdoor cement charcoal cooker, so we had to bust it up and completely get down to the broken pipe, which we managed to do today. So we've been drawing water the last few days. When I came in the house, Mom was crying, and I thought maybe that it was, you know, the heat. It's been up to 107, 110 degrees in Chad. Her lingering illness, the lack of running water, I thought maybe was getting a bit much. I put my arm around her and asked what was the matter. With tears running down her cheeks, she whispered one word: separation. No, she didn't want to be separated from me, Larry says. But after being with Beth, Grace, Troy, and especially little Timothy David for the grand entry on November 4, and with it being Thanksgiving and back in the bush with no mail or email contact with you, it's hard to be separated right now. They get separated from their families. Their children are all over the world. Beth is serving in a land, again, I can't mention, in Southeast Asia. They met in Dubai so that she could give birth and that Larry and Jan could be there for the birth of their grandchildren. Man, I know how precious it is to have grandchildren. We're only 7 years into this grandparenting thing, so for us, it's new, okay? And we just love being with them. We love to see them go home, but we love being with them when we're with them, okay? And it's great. Imagine not being able to see your grandchildren, except maybe once a year, once every other year. That's difficult. He sends this again: thanks so much for your loving prayers for us. Politically and militarily, things have been heating up. Right before we got back to Chad, the president, who is in very poor health, had to disband his personal guard of 5,000 men who were turning on him. This is very serious because they are the last line of defense in case of a coup d'etat. We've been back 10 days and there have been 2 attempted coups, but both were repulsed. They have military checkpoints up all over the place and there is a general advisory not to travel. But we really wanted to get this news and prayer updates to the week. So we're driving down to Mandu, Kotu, to send this. So I hope you're praying. There is a national celebration December 1st to celebrate the day that the president took over or literally saved the country. So please pray that it's a peaceful day. And of course, I haven't heard whether that has been a peaceful day. But he says this on an email on November 30th. I can't thank you enough for remembering us in your prayers during the holiday season. I know in these days we feel like wimping out, that our Lord uses those prayers to sustain us and make our lives and work out here count. One of the real struggles for me is that I am a pastor, but have to function as a patron, which is a boss also. The mission station where we live employs 8 people. You might recall at the beginning of this year, you prayed with me on a nerve-wracking experience of having an employee I had to let go bring charges against me. I was found innocent. I'm here, he is taken to court over an employee. I was found innocent, and I'm convinced that it was because your prayers that our Lord assured my exoneration. By the way, the fellow still isn't giving up. Just a few weeks ago, he got the League of Nonviolence to come and confront me. Confrontation in Chad is not an easy thing. They come with swords and spears when they confront. And Larry has been held on the ends of at bay with those and had guns shoved in his chest repeatedly. He says, preaching on Sunday was a great encouragement. It keeps me focused and a constant reminder of why we put up with the rest of the junk that we live through. And that's how he considers some of that. But I want to close with one other request. He says this: to our dear family and dedicated friends, how we thank our Lord for you and for all the loving kindness to us. Please know that we do not take for granted, and Jan and I are convinced that our Lord continues to bless us abundantly through you, that we may display his great grace and rich love in this impoverished land that so desperately needs to know the precious Lord Jesus. How we long to celebrate Thanksgiving with him, that is Christ, and you all at the great marriage feast of the Lamb. Notice, his whole heart is, I want people to worship the Lord. Are you satisfied with Jesus? You know, there's a line that I read that is just great. It says this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied with Him. Are you satisfied with your relationship with Jesus Christ? I mean, do you find it absolutely fulfilling? Or are you sitting here and saying, nah, it really isn't all that great. I feel like an unbeliever because I go through all of the same woes and troubles and worries and wants and just have the name Christian tacked on. But I look out through our audience and I can see the faces of people who are absolutely content and satisfied with Jesus. And that's all they want. That's all they need. You know, it is good to see, because they sit there and they smile at you and they say, oh, it is great. Once you find your fulfillment in Christ, once you find that you're satisfying Him, then you bring God the greatest glory. Because then you begin to do things for Him, not out of duty, but out of love. I'll close with this illustration. Imagine if I came to visit you in the hospital, and you saw me walk through the door, and you said, oh, Pastor, how good it is to see you. What an encouragement. And I kind of held up my hand and said, no, don't worry about it. No trouble at all. It's just my duty. How would you feel? You'd feel crushed. You'd feel, wow, I'm just the pastor's duty. He doesn't care. But if I responded in a different way, you say, look, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I could come and see you. I'm sorry to see you on these circumstances, but man, it is good to see you. What a difference in response that you even have. I do this because I get satisfaction from it, and not out of duty. Because when I say, I'm glad to be here, I honor you. And when I honor you, I do the greatest service. And I happen to be satisfied in doing it. When you honor the Lord, when you glorify the Lord, is when you do things not out of duty, but because you're satisfied. And He causes you to do it. That's why, if we worship, there is no way in the world that we could ever keep our mouths shut about Jesus. We really need to get in touch. I need a fresh work, a fresh touch in my life, so that when I sit down with the Scriptures, that sometimes, I don't know whether you battle this or not. Sometimes I read this book, and it just dry. You feel that too, Don? You know, just you read it and you say, I've read this all before. It's not making sense. You know, what do I preach on today? Where am I going here? What am I doing there? Got to get a sermon, so here's your 3 points in the poem and go on. Got to work it up. But when you find your love and your passion, when you fall in love with Jesus and you begin to talk about Jesus, when you begin to talk about God, all the dryness goes away because you become satisfied with Him and He becomes glorified in us. And I pray that this week, you will find your satisfaction in Jesus. Take the rest of the week and be satisfied with Him. Don't worry about your money. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about the situations you find yourself in, the difficulties in life. Don't worry about this. Concentrate on falling in love with being satisfied with Jesus. And when you're satisfied with Him, you glorify Him. And that is exactly what God wants. Glory for Himself. Father, help us to do that in a tangible way, to be able to really take all of our problems that we have, all of these people that we mentioned at the beginning of the service who have cancer and are close to death and are struggling physically, all these people who are going through difficult financial times, all these people who are going through uncertainty of some sort in their life with their families, all these folks who are struggling in their Christian life, not finding any fulfillment, they find it the same. They find it drab. They find it boring even at times. Oh, Father, may we fall in love with God all over again and find our satisfaction not in things, but in you. Help us to take our eyes off the things and focus them on you. My Father, I thank you that we can, that's one thing that we can do today, is to look to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless you.